Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more, or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Tony, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Hank. My question is concerning the Ten Commandments. Why is there only nine of them that we still honor today, but that fourth commandment is the only one that's no good? And from the New Testament, in Hebrews verse 9 of chapter 4, it says, talks about there remains, there's a seventh day. And in verse 11 of chapter 4 of Hebrews, it says, let us labor to enter into that rest, unless we fall after the same example of unbelief.
Yeah, well, I would argue with you and say it is not true that only nine of them are efficacious in our day. I would say all 10 of them are, and the fourth is significant beyond measure in that it is in Christ that we have our Sabbath rest. Christ is our righteous substitute. He lived a sinless life. He perfectly obeyed all the commandments of God on our behalf, solely on account of Christ. By grace through faith in Him, God counts as righteousness His human representatives on earth. It's as though we have never sinned, as though we have perfectly obeyed the commandments because we find our righteousness in Him. And Romans points that out. You allude to Romans. Romans points out, and Paul here is writing to the Roman believers and saying, as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by one's obedience many made righteous. Which is to say, Jesus Christ does what we could not do, and therefore in Jesus Christ we have our Sabbath rest. So we wouldn't ever want to say that only nine of the commandments are efficacious. No, all 10 of them are certainly efficacious. One man's obedience, many are made righteous. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Larry. He's listening in Long Beach, California. Hi, Larry.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah. My question is about the book of Acts. In obviously, at Pentecost, they received the Holy Spirit. And then later on in the chapters, you see the Holy Spirit was received by the laying of hands. And I had a pretty good idea because I studied this before. I just want to get some confirmation, or maybe you could tell me something that's different. But I was always thought that the book of Acts is really not a book that you really want to get your doctrine from, because it was the beginning of the church. And and for instance, in Acts 2:38, it says they believe, and then they were baptized, and they were saved. Versus Romans 10:9, how it says it goes into detail how you should a believer, how they receive salvation. So I just want to know, what's the difference between when they were received the Holy Spirit today? What's the difference today now? Or is that happened the same way? Can you receive the Holy Spirit by the laying of hands? Or is that just from the beginning, how it was at the beginning of the church?
I mean, you always receive the Holy Spirit in the same way. That is, throughout all of Scripture, the Holy Spirit is received through faith. Abraham was indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Moses was indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Joshua was indwelt by the Holy Spirit. David was indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And you and I can be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but it is always through Jesus Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, it is looking forward to Jesus Christ through types and shadows. Now we have the reality of Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ has come. But we are temples of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is to say the Holy Spirit takes residence within us. So as believers, whether in the Old Covenant or the New Covenant, we are the temple for the Holy Spirit. When we believe through faith as Abraham did, or as you and I do, we are those who are indwelt by the Spirit. But there is such a thing as well as being infilled with the Spirit, and that is to say there is such a thing as to be empowered by the Spirit. Therefore, as I do the broadcast, I pray not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit. I think, again, it is important to recognize that in the Old Testament, the patriarchs were indwelt by the Spirit. Sometimes that is something that is disputed, but if you look at the Old Testament text, you'll see that the Spirit dwelt in Joshua. We see that in Numbers chapter 27. God put His Holy Spirit within Moses, Isaiah 63. The Holy Spirit is a personal presence, has and will always be in the midst of God's people. When Jesus talked about the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, He was not implying that the Holy Spirit was not already here, but that the Spirit was to come in the sense of empowering or infilling, which we see in the book of Acts. It is all right to say that the Holy Spirit came from heaven at Pentecost, but not in the sense of location, rather in the sense of a special manifestation of His presence and His power. Back to the phone calls, talk to Benny in Richmond, British Columbia. Hi, Benny.
Hi, good afternoon. I just would like to ask a verse in the Bible in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. My question is, what is the difference between pride and arrogancy? Why the verse says, and arrogancy? Are they not the same?
Well, they are. I mean, pride oftentimes manifests itself in arrogance, but the words, while they have the same connotation, a prideful attitude, there is a different way in which arrogance can be manifested. But arrogance and pride are closely related, as in the context are evil behavior and perverse speech.
Mm-hmm. Would you mind expanding about the perversity of the mouth? How does that look like?
Well, when you use evil speech, when you use your mouth in a way to cut down someone else, to build yourself up, when you blaspheme the Lord, there are all kinds of ways in which evil proceeds from the mouth, because ultimately the mouth is the vessel by which we communicate that which resides in the heart. And our hearts are evil beyond comprehension. When we recognize the full evil of the heart, we also recognize the full need for salvation through Jesus Christ, the recognition that we can never be good enough to be acceptable to God, that we are evil throughout. And I think what's particularly telling in the Bible is the great men of God who are considered righteous, like Isaiah, get one glimpse of the holiness of God and are completely undone, recognizing just how evil they are. Or even someone like the great apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament epistles, in light of the glory of God's holiness and righteousness, he says, "Oh, what a wretched man I am." And I think this is true for all of us as we grow in grace and knowledge, as we get closer and closer to the light of Christ, we see just how wretched we ourselves are. how much evil resides in the human heart, even of those who are redeemed, because we are yet sinners.
As Christians, will we still be accountable to the Lord if we have said those kind of words that are perverse or maybe corrupt? Are we still accountable to the Lord?
Yes, we are. I mean, we're accountable for everything we do in this life. What we do now counts for all eternity. So we can build on the foundation that is Jesus Christ, says the Apostle Paul. We can either do that using wood, hay, or stubble, or we can use fine gold, costly jewels. So there are degrees of reward in heaven and degrees of punishment in hell. So we should not say, well, I'm saved and therefore that's that. No, we certainly do work from our salvation. And again, what we do now counts for all eternity.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so thank you. Thank you very much for that. And God bless you.
And you as well, Benny. Thank you so much for giving me a call today. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back after the break. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org, equip.org. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences, as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Let's go right back to the phone lines. Next up is Dan. He's listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm quite well. I've been a long-time listener, and I seem to really respect your opinion.
Thank you.
So I've been a long-time artist, and my question to you is, what does Scripture have to say, or what is your opinion on artists who draw live models?
Well, I think this is certainly a matter of conscience. I think you could pretty much ask the same question about whether a man can be a gynecologist. It is possible, I think, to distinguish between sanctified nakedness and objectifying nudity. So the real issue is, what is your motive, and can you do this in a sanctified way? This is not something I'd want to be involved in personally. But certainly, I think that the purpose is the issue of the matter, ultimately. I mean, certainly, if you look at classical art, you find statues that express nudity, not to titillate, but in the sense of representing art in an edifying manner.
Excellent. Thank you very much, and hopefully you have a good rest of the show.
Thank you. Appreciate your call. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Wayne in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hi, Wayne.
Hi there, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm actually a recent listener, just started listening recently. And a question I wanted to ask is that you have a very strong outlook on Bethel Church in Redding, California, and other churches that kind of follow what you call the false revivalist movement. And I did just want to ask about, you know, certain scriptures that talk about the prophetic voices and apostolic voices and the moving of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit in the church. And what place, in your opinion, does that have in this 21st century church in America?
Well, look, an apostle may be used in the sense of a church planter, a missionary, or a pastor of pastors. In the same sense, the prophetic can be used in the sense of a leader who inspires the church with vision for its mission, or who challenges the church to deeper commitment to Christ. However, we can't use this language synonymously with the Old Testament prophets and apostles. And therein I find the problem of the modern apostolic movement. You have today prophets who are saying that if Moses or the Apostle Paul were to appear on the scene today, they'd be waiting in line to get their autographs, because what the modern prophets are going to do is far greater than what the biblical prophets did. And I think that is heresy and apostasy. I think that what we should look at is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, with Jesus Christ the cornerstone. And therefore, that becomes the ultimate judge of what is true and what is not true. That becomes the barometer, not modern-day prophets who seem to be adding to the counsel that we already have in Scripture. So now we're testing things not only in light of Scripture and holding fast to that which is true, but we're asked to believe what the modern prophets are saying. And of course, the history of the 20th, well, we can go back to the 19th century, the 20th century in particular, with all these false cults arising, always suggesting that their modern prophets are speaking on par with Scripture and sometimes even superseding the teaching of Scripture. And therefore, I think there needs to be a strong corrective. And by the way, you find that throughout the Bible. Listen to what Jeremiah says. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying. They fill you with false hope. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. It is a very dangerous thing to suggest that you are speaking for God. And I would suggest that even what I say on the Bible Answer Man broadcast ought to be tested, because it is not my word that is infallible. It is the word that is infallible. So test me and test anyone who claims to be speaking in words that are equal to or surpassing that of Scripture.
So then it would be safe to say that the true issue there may not necessarily be the work of the Spirit. Well, it's not at all the work of the Holy Spirit within a particular congregation or within a particular movement. It is the work of men who are exalting themselves and who are trying to make names for themselves rather than humbling themselves and asking to be tested, as you're saying, by Scripture, as the Word of God says, test the prophets, test the words that come from the mouth, see if they line up.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what the Bible says. In fact, the Bible exposes pretenders. Not only do they fail the biblical test given in Deuteronomy 13 and 18, as well as in Acts chapter 1, but they mouth empty, boastful words and appeal to the lustful desires of sinful human nature. They entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise freedom while they themselves are slaves to depravity. These are not my words. That's my paraphrase of what Peter said in his second epistle. So how can you know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord if what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true? That is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously. Do not be afraid of him. And I think we have all kinds of modern-day prophets who are speaking presumptuously. And I don't mind naming names because they're spreading spiritual cyanide by the megadose within the body of Christ. And I've done just that in my book, Counterfeit Revival. People are looking for God in all the wrong places. And that's the subtitle of the book, Looking for God in All the Wrong Places. Again, that book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to David in Cocoa, Florida. Hi, David.
Hello, Hank. How you doing?
Okay.
Well, I had one question. What I was wondering is it because of the rise of the Muslim faith and the actual aspect of it, is it possible that the Antichrist is going to be of the Muslim faith?
Well, it's not only possible, it is true that anyone who denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is Antichrist. That is true in every epoch of time. Which is to say, the Bible doesn't really deal with what's happening in the 21st century. It's dealing with a beast in Revelation that sets itself in opposition to the Lamb, in essence, a parody of the Lamb. So Antichrist is never mentioned in the book of Revelation, only in John's epistle. But a beast is mentioned in the book of Revelation, but that beast is certainly not a 21st century beast. It's a first century beast, because John makes clear to his readers in the first century that with wisdom and understanding, they'll be able to identify the number of the beast and the number of his name. John obviously is not trying to fool his readers. He is telling them something that they can actually do with wisdom and understanding. Obviously, they couldn't do that with respect to a 21st century beast. But as far as the Antichrist is concerned, Antichrist manifests itself in individuals and institutions in every epoch of time who deny Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And certainly this is true with respect to Islam. Islam denies the truth of Jesus Christ. They deny that Jesus Christ died a crucifixion. In fact, they suppose that God made someone look like Jesus Christ, and that look-alike was crucified in place of Jesus Christ. So vicariously, not only do they deny the crucifixion of Christ, but his resurrection as well.
Okay, I was just wondering because of, you know, all the way the world's going and stuff, and I didn't want to point fingers at anybody. It was a burden on my heart. But I wanted to ask another question on mine. For many years, I was not a good person. And now that I'm converted, I feel like I owe the world, you know, to do right. Am I supposed to feel that way? Should I be set on, you know, taking my time to do the right thing to the earth, to the people that I've been damaged to, you know what I mean?
Well, and I'm glad you're sensitive to that. Yes, you should care about everything that you do while you are in the flesh, because, again, what we do now counts for all eternity. So we should try to reconcile ourselves with all people. We should be willing to forgive everyone. And of course, forgiveness is always a two-way street. But we should always be willing to forgive. Forgiveness is effected when there's someone willing to forgive and someone wanting to be forgiven, then true reconciliation can take place. But again, as believers, we are those who recognize how great a debt we are forgiven, and therefore we're willing to forgive others, and we're willing to do that which counts for all eternity, because what happens as believers is our eyes are elevated from mere earthly vanities to eternal verities. They're fixed on eternity. We live with eternity in mind. That's how we engage every single day of our lives in relationship, not only to the Lord, but in relationship to other people.
So then I am correct in saying, for what I've done in my conscience, that my overwhelming desire to serve is correct and okay, and that's what I should do then. I mean,
it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Your overwhelming desire to serve is wonderful. I'm out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'm looking forward to seeing all of you back here tomorrow with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.